Today we have another disturbing gospel. There are a lot of disturbing gospels. Have you noticed that? The popular idea of Jesus as a very, you know, kindly fellow who you know, pats children on the head is not a very complete picture, is it? Here in this gospel, he's speaking about fire and about division, about dividing families, about baptism. Let's start with baptism, because our idea of baptism is a little bit of water sprinkled on the forehead. And that's valid for the sacrament. It doesn't take very much water to have the valid sacrament. But that's not what the word baptism means in the Greek, and that's not how it would have been heard in Jesus' time. To baptize means to plunge, means to immerse. So when Jesus says, there is a baptism with which I must be baptized, he's not talking about a little sprinkling of water. He's talking about being plunged into something. And he says, how great is my anguish until it is accomplished. So he's talking about getting into the serious business of salvation and his deep desire to accomplish the work that he was sent to do. When he says he's in anguish until it's accomplished, it might surprise us because we think of his passion as the anguish that he has to pass through, the terrible suffering involved in the redemptive process for us. And that's true, he was in anguish, agony in the garden. But here he says he's in anguish until he gets to that point. I mean, he would suffer to not suffer. It's a burning desire to save us. When he says he wants to set the earth on fire, this is the fire he's talking about, the burning flame of love. So baptism, I wanted to start with baptism because it was in Sunday's gospel too. Remember when James and John asked Jesus for places of honor, glory, he said, you don't know what you're asking. Can you be baptized with the same baptism that I'm going to be receiving? And they said, oh yeah, we can, as if they knew what he was talking about. Well, they didn't know. But as it turned out, they were baptized into this baptism of love when they received the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. They were immersed in fire. Okay, so we're talking about something total, not a superficial experience, not just something you do in your spare time. And that's the Christian life, right? It's not something we think about when we get around to it, or when we have a need, we turn to God and say, you know, sprinkle a few blessings on me. What Jesus has in mind is immersion in his own, the life he shares with the Father, immersion in divine life. If you ever read the saints, especially the more mystical ones, they're often talking about fire and oceans. They're always talking with such big terms, because how can you describe the love of God? How can you describe its impact on the whole of creation? How can you describe what it's like to be drawn into communion with this extraordinary mystery of communion of love? You have to use big words like setting the earth on fire, or like oceans of grace, things like that. Well, St. Paul is reflecting on something like this in today's first reading. Again, this beautiful letter to the Ephesians we're reading from these days. Here he makes a prayer. And the prayer is that the Ephesians will be immersed, will be baptized in this vast ocean of divine love, or this blazing furnace of divine love. He's talking about love, but he's talking about the whole of divine love. He says it in a beautiful way. He says, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named, the root of all family life, of all fatherhood is God the Father. And he says he kneels before him and he prays that the Ephesians, and by extension everybody, including us, will be given an inner a grace in our interior life through the Spirit, and that we will be grounded in love, built on love, and comprehend love. And the way he says it, you comprehend the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Filled with all the fullness of God? That's a vast ocean of love, right? That's the whole divine life. That's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's why it's a baptism. It's to be plunged into a fathomless depth. And that's what Paul is praying for here. He knows that the gift he has received and the gift he's been sent to give is this immeasurable breadth, length, height, depth, unfathomable, unknowable, incomprehensible mystery of love. That's what it is. Well, Paul puts it in this very positive way, but Jesus in the gospel also points out that it has a what we would call a negative consequence, that is division. Because love, the stronger it is, the purer it is, the harder it is, not softer, the sharper it is. Love has a very sharp edge to it. It cuts. And that's why Jesus says, I didn't come for peace, in the sense, he didn't come simply to make everybody feel good or to have everybody get along. He came to establish this blazing fire of love in our hearts. And when that happens, anything that doesn't correspond to that love gets cut or smashed or thrown aside or washed away. You have to come up with some kind of term to describe the change that takes place when, once divine love is in charge, no one else can be in charge. And that's why it has the effect of division, because not everyone wants God to be in charge. I was reading, just last night, there was an article about the Filipino community in Nevada in the States. In Nevada, one of the largest communities of immigrants is the Filipinos. Maybe you know that. Probably everyone has some relatives in Nevada near Las Vegas. Anyway, the article was about the impact of the Filipino community on the upcoming election in the United States. And both political parties and all the political candidates are now trying to win the Filipino vote. I found it interesting. But one of the things that was included in the article is that it's not a unified bloc. It's not as if all the Filipinos got to vote for the same person. They're divided. And even within families, some will vote for the Democrats and some will vote for the Republicans. And those divisions threaten what would you consider the natural unity. Well, no, that's just the way it is. If someone takes one position, he doesn't take the other position. And politics, of course, is very flexible or mutable, and there's different reasons for taking different positions. But when it comes to divine love, no. It's not changeable. It's has the hardness of reality. And that's why Christianity is constantly running into opposition and persecution. I mentioned St. Anthony Marie Claret. He when he got to Cuba, he was really popular in Spain, but when he got to Cuba and was named Bishop of Cuba, he ran into violent opposition because he was proclaiming the gospel, and there was a lot of practice in the culture and in the church that was not according to the gospel. So he was reforming things, and people who didn't want to be reformed were violently opposed to him. So that's the way it is with love. with truth. The modern idea of reality is that we can change it according to what we want, or that we determine what is real. What's called the positivist philosophy, or the relativism of the modern culture, that I can decide for myself what's true, and what's true for me is not necessarily true for you, and I'll just decide for ourselves what's true. That's not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about something that's true whether we like it or not, that's real whether we accept it or not. And if we don't accept it, well, then it's going to be a cause of division. So it's a very positive statement, as Paul puts it. It's the immeasurable the mystery of divine love planted in us, that we could be filled with the fullness of God himself. But that means if we're filled with the fullness of God, we can't be filled with the world, can't be filled with selfishness, with greed, with corruption, with attachments. Those things are going to be challenged, and there will be division. So division in families, division in cultures, division in nations, division even within ourselves. We experience an inner tension because, yes, we love God and we want to his will, but we also, our nature also wants its own will. And we get cut in this division. So it's a very strong kind of language that Jesus uses here, but it's important for us to ponder it because he wants to share the whole gift to us. He wants us to be plunged in the ocean of divine love. He wants us to be immersed in divine fire. And if we don't want that, well, that's going to make us miserable. And if we do want it, our nature is going to be purified. Oh, okay. That's what we really want. That's what we're really made for. So let us open our hearts then to this ocean, this baptism, this fire of divine love.